of the open road. Man and boy and bike. No hurry. And the freeway stretching out forever. Or so it seems. Clean your goggles. Between the flies and the sweat, you'll see the truth. The freeway is flying towards a point on the horizon. The vanishing point.
You want a bit of this?
No, thanks.
Ribbit. Ribbit. Lonesome Creek doesn't quite live up to its name, does it? We're not lonesome, and it sure doesn't sound like any of our friends out there are lonesome.
I guess not.
Hey, you warm enough? You can sure tell it's August when the sun goes down. I think that storm's going to blow over. Yeah, we probably could have kept going after all, but we're not in any hurry, right? It's nice here. We'll get a good start in the morning. Just have me a little smoke and catch up on my journal writing. Hey, you go on into the tent if you get sleepy.
I'm not sleepy. Dad.
Is something troubling you, Josh?
I heard you tell Aunt Edie and Uncle Robert I might be coming to live with you.
Well, now that's one of the things we're going to talk about before this trip is over.
You mentioned it to them before you say one word to me.
Well, it came up in conversation. They wanted to know how you were doing in school, how your mama was, things like that. I just mentioned it as a possibility, that's all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not one word to me.
All right, I apologize. I guess I was waiting for the right moment. Some romantic nonsense about us out in a canoe and sitting around the campfire after cooking our own fresh-caught fish. And I'd bring it up, paint myself in an extremely favorable light, how much fun we'd have, and so on and so forth.
You don't need to paint yourself in a favorable light.
No?
No.
Why, thank you. Would you like to come and live with me, Josh?
I don't know. Dad, could you teach me how to wave so that people wave back at me like they do to you?
I saw you were practicing your waving all day.
They all wave at you.
Well, now they don't all wave at me.
A lot of them do.
Maybe. But I really don't have a special signal to get bikers and truckers to wave at me, you know. I don't know of such a thing. I mean, you tried all kinds of ways of waving today, and of course, sometimes the bikers and truckers waved at you, and sometimes they didn't. I hope it doesn't take you as many years as it's taken me to learn that I don't make people do things. My waving at the bikers and truckers, your waving at the bikers and truckers, is only one of the variables involved. Well, the guy who doesn't wave may be thinking about where he's going to spend the night or how much longer he can go before he takes a piss. And the guy who does wave, well, maybe he needs to feel generous or waves at everybody like the Queen of England or just got laid and is feeling good. Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
Ooh, a motorcycle riding seems to be good for sorting things out.
What sort of things?
Why, any old thing. Hey. Do you mind if I try out a few of my brilliant thoughts and insights on you?
Go ahead. Sometimes I can't follow you, though.
That's what my students say. Anyway, I'll just shoot my mouth off and toss out a few things I've been thinking about all day while you were practicing your waving. They have to do with motorcycle riding and Grandma Weaver.
Grandma Weaver? Dad, she didn't even recognize us. I can understand she might not recognize me. But she didn't recognize you.
Hey, now hold on. What makes you so sure she didn't recognize us? Now just hold your horses.
We were standing right there, right by her bed, and she starts talking about her son up in Canada and how the kids don't live with him and so on.
Okay, I admit it's pretty disconcerting. But don't you think it's pretty interesting how we arrive and after Aunt Georgie says, Mother, here's some visitors for you, she opens her eyes and almost immediately starts talking about us?
But she was talking about us as though we weren't there right in front of her.
One of the boys is up there in Canada. He's a college professor up there. It rains a lot up there in Canada. What's your name?
Gave me the creeps.
Well, what she said seemed to make sense to her. Didn't seem to give her the creeps.
But even when you told her your name and my name, she didn't recognize us. How do you explain that?
Just at the minute, I don't explain it, but I'm working on it. And the fact that she didn't use my name or your name the whole time we were there doesn't necessarily mean she didn't recognize us.
Oh, no, not necessarily.
Now, don't always take the easy explanation, Josh. I mean, if you want to get the most out of the brains you were so obviously born with, you've got to poke. You've got to challenge. You've got to rock the damn boat. I need to know a whole lot more about the brain. About what really gets stroked when somebody has a stroke. You know, Josh, everybody who's seen Grandma Weaver says she's really mixed up and is in bad shape mentally. And that's what I would have thought from all the letters that people have written me. People have known her all their lives. Until I saw her the other day. Now I'm not so sure. Now I think she's just using language, maybe even using memory in a way that I haven't thought about before. I think I might be onto something central about the way brains work.
Where do the motorcycles fit in?
Well, now, that is really interesting. You see, there's something powerfully paradoxical about riding a motorcycle on a trip. I mean, not just the real interesting thing that because I'm up in front and you're hanging on behind and we both got our helmets on so there's no chit-chat like there would be in a car or a bus and yet our bodies are close, you've got your arms around me part of the time and it feels good, feels natural. But there's a whole different kind of reality going on. You know, something about paying close attention to the business of staying on the road. I mean, going fast on winding roads requires close attention. The margin for error is so small. At 60 miles an hour through a corner might be only a couple of inches wide on some corners. Adding a few more miles an hour through that corner might cut the groove down by half or more. And you've got to pay attention. But the paradox is that paying such close attention to driving seems to stir up and integrate a whole lot of other things. I mean, I have more insights and ideas riding on that motorcycle than I have in a month behind my desk back home. It doesn't work that way on the freeway, though. It's too easy on the freeway. Maybe most of us live our whole lives on the freeway, in a kind of stupor. Josh. Hey, Josh. Well, I knew I was boring, but I didn't realize I was that boring. Hey, son, you've got to wake up and crawl into the tent. You're too big to carry.
I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Now, come on now. Come on.
I'm fine. Just leave me here. It's warm.
Shirt on. Whoa, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for breakfast. I'm hungry.
Sorry, I fell asleep on you last night.
Hey, that's perfectly all right. I ended up falling asleep on myself. Woke up in the middle of the night with the fire out, a very cold riding hand, my glasses still on, and slobber drooling out of my mouth.
And that flash flood, it just never materialized. I get up in the middle of the night to put the horses away, and nothing happened. We're going to get it, though. Maybe tonight, or maybe tomorrow morning. But it's coming.
Hey, where are you going, Josh?
I gotta go to the John.
Okay, I'll just peel off a few layers of clothing in order. What do you want?
I don't know. Pancakes, guess.
Hi there. Do you want menus or just coffee?
Oh, hi there.
Oh, you were in here yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Well, those storm clouds were building up so much and looked so threatening, we high-tailed it back to Lonesome Creek where we got some exercise and a good night's sleep. So, Rose's Cafe, huh?
Yep.
Are you Rose?
Oh, never was any Rose that I know of. My name's Margie.
Ah, well, I'm Gary, and the boy in the old boys' room is my son Josh. Well, Margie, with a hard G, we want breakfast, but we don't need menus. We know what we want.
Fire away.
Okay, we have a large orange juice, steak medium rare, hash browns, and coffee. Mm-hmm. For Josh, buttermilk hotcakes and a large milk.
Okay, you want your coffee now?
I'd love my coffee now.
One steak, medium rare, hash browns.
Over here, Josh.
Chicken, buttermilk.
What'd you get me?
Large
hotcakes.
Oh, good.
Hey, that stuff I was going on about last night, did it make any sense?
What stuff?
Well, the stuff about Grandma Weaver.
I think you fell asleep too early on. Dad, does Mom know about me maybe going to live with you?
She knows. Oh, I wrote her a letter about it. If she read the letter, she knows.
She hasn't written back or called or anything?
Well, I wrote just before we left. I wanted her to have time to think, maybe talk out loud to herself and say a few things she wouldn't want you to hear.
Things about you?
Maybe.
She doesn't like you.
I know that.
She really doesn't like you.
I know that, too. Do you remember me talking about motorcycles and grooves?
A little bit. Dad, can I drive today?
Maybe. On a side road. Ah, sure. Then you'd find out about the groove. Anyway, you know how we say things are groovy or in the groove?
Well, maybe you do.
Okay, but jazz musicians say it, and we all said it in the 60s. Grooving on the sunshine, etc., etc. Well, it all fits together.
Sorry, you've lost me. What fits together?
Well, the basic idea is that there's a groove that I can follow that's exactly right for me to live in an optimum way. Guiding that motorcycle down the groove through a corner has become a metaphor for living in a tuned-in, turned-on way, responsive to things as they come, and yet selective for things to respond fully to.
High River Fire Department.
Here's your coffee.
I'll see you boys later. That calls for me.
Okay, now, where was I? Oh, yeah, and Grandma Weaver, well, she's in the groove as
you
well.
You fellas didn't get as far as you wanted to yesterday.
There. We got worried about the weather and went back down to Lonesome Creek. Decided to come back here for breakfast, though. This sure is a good place to eat.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
Hey, Dad, can I have some money for the jukebox?
Oh, you out of money already.
No.
Here, play Anne Murray. I like to listen to her.
Well, I don't.
Hey, now go ahead, then you can choose the next one.
That's not Anne Murray.
I must have pushed the wrong button.
Look, it says R3 Anne Murray, Snowbird. Did you push R3?
I don't know. I thought I did.
Hey, look, here's your quarterback.
It don't matter.
Missed the damn fire truck. I waited at the corner for ages and no damn truck came by. Hey, Margie, bring me a fresh coffee, will you?
In a minute.
They shouldn't serve people like that in here.
People who miss fire trucks?
There's a lot of weather in them clouds. And you fellas are on a motorcycle, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. We've just come back from Shelby, Montana, where we've been visiting his great-grandma and all his great-aunts and uncles.
That's so. I got my driver's license taken away from me now. I had to get a physical exam to get a health card so as I could work in this restaurant. And she didn't put no ketchup on your table. Hang on, I'll get some.
Dad, I don't want him talking to us while we're eating.
Well, look, we're not eating yet, are we? He's just somebody who wants to talk, that's all. Well, maybe he's lonely. Sometimes I think I don't travel, I just go to see people.
Anne Murray.
Here you are. And here's your juice.
Yeah, thanks. Do you think you could hurry them up in the kitchen to see Josh?
Any minute now. The doctor said I had something wrong with my brain and I'd have to see a specialist. I got epilepsy. You know what that is? Epilepsy?
Sort of. I'm going to play Buddy Holly. I like those songs. I'll use my own quarter.
Josh, everybody thinks I'm crazy. They say I am, and maybe I am. But I know something that they don't know.
Oh, yes. And what's that?
Here you are. Sorry it took so long.
Thanks, Margie.
Earl, Harry needs you in the kitchen.
Tell Harry I'll be there in a minute.
He needs you right now.
Hey, Margie, have you seen the show at the drive-in?
No, but I'm not going with you. I may be blonde, but I'm not dumb.
Oh, you want a bit?
Oh. And if you boys want anything more, you just let me know. Blueberry pie will be ready in about 10 minutes.
Thanks. We just might wait around for something like homemade blueberry pie.
Hey, Margie, how about that coffee, huh? And bring me two of them jelly donuts when you get a minute or 10.
Ah, hold your horses.
Hadn't you better go give Margie a hand?
She's all right. Don't worry about her. Now me, I've got the mind of a little girl that died.
Dad.
It's okay, Josh. Eat your pancakes.
When they sent me over to Calgary to that specialist, he put me on a table and put some needles in my head, but wouldn't let me see what he was doing.
Dad, please.
What's the matter? Am I upsetting your stomach? Just made me lay there with my head covered up for the longest time. I just laid there. I never said a word. But they had this little girl there at the same time who died. She might have been dead at the time, or she might have died later. I don't know. But I think I know how she died. What they did when they put those needles in my head. They put her brain in my head. At least the nerve section.
Dad, let's go.
Look at, hold your horses, Josh. I haven't finished my breakfast.
Well, I have. I'm finished. I'm going to look at the postcards and I'll meet you outside.
Josh.
Hurry up.
Let him go. Kids don't want to know about nothing. Ever since then, I've had this vision. Or a dream. Her dream. No. I don't know if it's her dream or her memory, but I can see it plain as day, just like I was there. Mm-hmm. It's just like I was there in that little girl's body. She was on a wheat combine. She'd ridden a horse out to it with two other kids. I can see their bodies, but their faces are blanks. Like their faces had been erased, maybe.
Anybody out there want fresh blueberry pie?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I'll have a piece over here, Margie.
Okay.
Would you like to join me in a piece of fresh blueberry pie?
No, thanks. Crust tastes like cardboard, and he puts too much sugar in.
Well, suit yourself. You know, your story is really amazing. It's funny, but it fits in with the very things I've been thinking about on this trip.
Say, who are you? Are you a doctor?
No. Well, I'm not kind of doctor you mean, but I'm very, very, very interested in the brain.
You make a difference between the brain and the mind?
Oh, certainly.
Dad, are you coming or not?
Look, 5 more minutes, Josh.
Here you are.
Thanks. Listen, I'd better pay now. My boy's getting anxious to hit the road.
Okay. Harry's getting more than anxious, Earl. Harry's getting fed up. That $13.50 counting the pie.
Well, here's $15.
Oh.
Food and the service are first rate.
Why, thank you.
Margie, you're wanted up front.
I'm coming.
Did you find some postcards you liked?
A couple. I'd like this old Henry bar, too.
So soon after breakfast?
It's for later. Tell my dad I'll be outside.
Of course there's a distinction.
I mean, I could hold a dead man's brain in my hands, turn it around, feel its weight, and so on, but unless I had known the man or read about him or heard about him or read something that he'd written, I wouldn't know anything about his mind. So it's the little girl's mind you think you have, right?
That's right. You want to hear exactly how it was?
I certainly do.
You mind if I sit down?
Go right ahead.
You know, when those doctors were putting the little girl's mind in my head, I could feel her mind coming into me.
You could feel her mind coming?
I could feel it coming, and I just let it come. I was laying there with dark cloths over my head for a long time, listening. I could tell that there was someone else nearby, but I didn't know that it was the little girl. The doctors were working on somebody, though. And then I felt this other mind coming, this other memory, and I knew I needed to be very still and let it come. I simply turned my own mind off. I said, "Mind, stop thinking. Stop thinking." And my mind just calmed down and quieted down real smooth.
Real smooth.
There wasn't nothing happening there. I just waited. And pretty soon, here she came. She came in just like she'd been there forever. And I could see everything that happened on the wheat combine just like I was there. Everything but those other kids' faces. There was just blanks instead of their faces. And the interesting part is that it's just that one part that I can see. And it's as clear as day, but nothing else. And even that part just stops blank. That man whipped the horse once, and it didn't do nothing. But then he whipped it again, and it took off running and dragged that little girl clear across the wheat field. But the vision just stops blank after a few seconds, and she's bouncing and screaming, and the horse's hooves are pounding in the dirt, and then click. Nothing more. I wonder if that's when she died.
Oh, that's incredible. Tell me, do you have epileptic fits?
Well, I used to. I don't have the fits anymore. I've got all that under control. But I sure have her memory. All the time, over and over.
Earl!
I'm coming, I'm coming.
Yeah, Earl, stop filling that nice man's head full of lies.
Lies? Lies, is it? You think that's strange, what I just told you?
Yeah, strange and wonderful. What an amazing experience to have had.
Not so amazing when you have to live with it day after day after day. When you...
You see that man over there?
Where?
The one that called out to me, the bastard over there in the big hat.
Oh, yeah, I see him. You two don't exactly seem to be kissing cousins.
Kissing? He was there. Two on that combine. And this little girl had ridden up and tied the reins onto her hand. Well, that man over there took a bullwhip. There was a bullwhip there on the combine. And he began whipping that horse and whipping that horse and whipping it. Lord, how he whipped that horse. I don't know why. Well, it started to run off, dragging that little girl. And I remember all that. It didn't happen to me. It happened to her. But I got her memory up there in that hospital. Now I can't get rid of it. It's inside me for good, like a footprint in cement. I can't stand it. I can't tolerate it much longer.
I have to go now. Thanks for telling me your story.
It's pretty weird, isn't it?
Pretty weird, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Have you asked him about the little girl?
Who?
Kolosov? Yeah.
He told me I was crazy, that he didn't know nothing about any dead little girl. He tells everybody I'm off my rocker. He'll tell you if you ask him. But he hasn't always lived near here. He comes from someplace else, someplace near Saskatoon. How do we know what happened over there in Saskatoon?
Yeah, but the little girl who died was in Calgary. Why would they send a girl with a head injury all the way from Saskatoon to Calgary?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. He may never have come from Saskatoon at all.
He just says his name is Kolosoff and that he comes from Saskatoon and that he never knew no little girl in the wheat field.
Earl, I really have to go now. You don't believe me, do you?
I believe that you believe it.
You don't know what it feels like. Having somebody else's memory inside your head. That man on the combine and the bullwhip, the sound of it, and the horse dragging that little girl and her screams. I hope nothing like that ever happens to you.
I hope not.
Earl!
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Sorry I was so long.
Having breakfast with a lunatic?
Hey, I don't know about that. You didn't hear the whole story. I mean, it's his way of making sense out of the world. Just like with Grandma Weaver. I mean, it's so easy to call it craziness. It's too easy.
Boy, have I got a lot to think about.
Okay, hang on. Here we go.
Hey, Dad, you know what Mom says? She says you never listen to anybody. Says you don't have the first idea, but listen.
Look, I know you're feeling a bit fed up with me just now, Josh, but let's leave your mother out of it, shall we? If you want to fight, let's fight fair.
Just go. Just get going. I'd never live with you.
Look, we'll talk about it later.
I don't want to talk about it. My decision's final.
So you say.
The truckers, they all talked to him, seemed to know him. But Granny Weaver didn't recognize him. And sometimes Josh finds him a little hard to follow. Josh is riding right there behind him, but he's a blind spot in his father's rearview mirror. The mirror only reflects the freeway falling away behind him to vanishing
Thomas. Featured in the cast were Gary Chalk as Gary and Sean Clements as Josh, with Tom Heaton as the man, Cam Lane as Kolosoff, and Elena Shields as Margie. Original music was by Don Druick, with Christopher Robertson and Karen Erickson Koch. Technical operations were by Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Jay Hyrene, and the production assistant was Dagmar Kafanka. The series theme is by John Roby. The script editor is Sandra Rabinovich, and the voice of Vanishing Point is David Calderisi. In the Groove was produced and directed at CBC Vancouver by John Giuliani. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Next Monday night, the new season continues with a light-hearted play about real estate by Rachel Wyatt. It's called Soft Landscape, and the production features Saul Rubinek and Mary Long. That's next Monday night, same time, same station. Until then, I'm Barbara Budd, wishing you good night.